We're coming to the end of Simin Aleph. The long Sif Yud was the Dina Mechera Benu Gershom, which we spent time on the last 2 weeks. It ends with Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel Yud Aleph, but they're really, for the most part, brief Sifim. Yud Aleph actually went back on Mechera Benu Gershom. Something, one of the few problems, Baruch Hashem, we don't have today, for the most part. Very few people have a type to deal with two wives. Sif Yud Beis is Nishbash La Yisa Acheres Al Ishtai. Person who got married and made a shvua not to take a second wife. Vishah Yud Shanim. The halacha is of a couple that's married that doesn't have children for 10 years. And, what? It's a dina de Gemara to give a get, but for the most part, the place can find, I don't want to say ways around it. But let me explain. By the din of Lo Yisa Isha, it's explained in Simin Kuf Yud Ches. I don't know how long I'll live if we'll make it to Kuf Yud Ches here on Sunday morning. I don't know how long I'll live in Chutz La'aretz to make it to Simin Kuf Yud Ches. But from Aleph to Kuf Yud Ches, a little time. So let me just tell you, basically, there's been, historically, there's a difference between the meaning of the Adas Mizrach, the Sfaradim, and the Ashkenazim, when it comes to this halacha. The Gemara mentions such a notion that the woman who's if a couple's married for 10 years and doesn't have children, that person should be Megarish's wife. The meaning of the Adas Mizrach was to be matir, taking a second wife, even Bizman Azeh. And it's interesting, they said, v'shehela dira b'fnei atzma. You have to have a separate place. The two wives don't live in the same house. The man splits his time between two homes and one with each one. I assume we learned that out of the Oyel Rachel, that we find that when Rachel died, Reuven took the mita out of Oyel Rachel. It seems that there was a separate oil for each one. Be that as it may, that was the meaning of the Adas HaMizrach of the certain Sephardic communities to be matir, to take a second wife, and they relied on its serif of three things. Number one, that Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon was not made b'makom mitzvah, which the Ramah brought back in Sif Yud. That Chaim Rabbeinu Gershon was only made shaloi b'makom mitzvah, b'makom yibum mitzvot, and b'makom puravu. Number two, the shita that Mechaba brought, that Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom is only till Seif Elaf HaChamishi, until the end of the 5,000 years. And number three, the fact that in the Sephardic communities, they were not Mechabal Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom in most of the communities. Certainly in Yerushalayim, they were not Mechabal. And based on that, the Adas Mizrach were matir taking a second wife. Among the Ashkenazim, it seems that there was no such minig, and the minig was not to be makbid on the 10 years below Isha, for the most part, because of it being in Chutz La'aretz. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, there you'll have children. The Schus Eretz Yisrael is. Works with people, and as long as a person is still in Chutz La'aretz, he has no right l'garish asishta. He should move to Eretz Yisrael, and the source of Eretz Yisrael may be Aymed, and the Truman is a Truman in the Noidi Yehuda, who says that Chutz La'aretz were not makbid on this at all. It's interesting, and those of you who have heard this cloud for me already a dozen times, Rav Shlomo Kluger in the Tshuva Aleph Lecha Shlomo says, why are we not noyig to allow to give a get to make a man give a get after 10 years? He says, and we had this cloud many times, that any mitzvah b'tzuras aveira has to be l'shem shemayim. had this rule many times. I mentioned it Friday night by the daf also, that it's a klal gadol that any time you have a mitzvah that's in the form of an aveira, the easiest case is yibum. Yibum is marrying a sister-in-law, which is a mitzvah, but it's a tzur of an aveira, marrying a sister-in-law. So the Gemara says, if he doesn't do l'shem shemayim, it's pegeh be'erva. It's you're marrying a sister-in-law l'shem mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. Not l'shem mitzvah. It's pegeh be'erva. The other example I always mentioned is Lashon Hara L'Teyelas. The Chafetz Chaim says the heter of Lashon Hara L'Teyelas is only if you're mechavin l'shem mitzvah. So this is a general rule that any tzir of a mitzvah, which is b'tzuras aveira, has to be l'shem shemayim. And the same thing here, being megarish and isha b'akarcha, which certainly is to ben ham l'chaveri shabai, is an avla that has to be done l'shem mitzvah. It's not done l'shem shemayim. There's no heter. Shlomo Kluger says that's why we're not noyig this hanhaga. But let's move on to Sif Yud Gimel, which is, I guess,
the.
Yeah, it's Chazal's Eitzah. I know Chaim Kanievsky tells that to people.
Anyway,
he tells everyone to go to Israel. Yeah, yeah. If you have a cough, you go to Israel. You have a cough, you come to Israel. You know. Okay. Let's go on to Sif Yud Gimel. Sif Yud Gimel is a rule, Isha Eina Mitzvah Al Peri Virivya. Okay, that I think it's well known that the Chi of Peri Virivya applies to men. And does not apply to women. The question is, why is this brought in halacha? What's a nafkamina? So we're going to see in a minute a nafkamina. The Ramah says, Yesh Oimrim, the Leisamai B'loi Isha Mishum Chashada. B'loi Ish Mishum Chashada. That a woman should not, should try to get married. Mishum Chashada, Chashad, that she has. Certain hanhagis of ishus that are not they're not appropriate, and therefore she should mishumachshad, she should get married. Now there's a big kasha here. Every mitzvah say that women are pturais. We tell women to be mekayim keinu mitzvah vaisa, right? Every mitzvah say a woman is not mechuyev in shayfer. They all go to hear shayfer. Many of them are makri to shake luliv, and according to the Arminic, they even make a bracha. Arminic is they make a bracha, but they don't make a bracha, but they still try to be mekayim the mitzvah. So it's a very shvera Ramah. What is Ramah saying? The Hashem leisamisha mishum chashada. Why mishum chashada? It should say leisamir b'leisha because saif it's a mitzvah sasei. And the mitzvah saseh should apply to women as well. So mishum chashada, at age 70, she has to get married again. So why does the Ramah say that she should get married as per revu, and even if she's beyond the per revu, she should marry mishum chashad? But why does he mention that a woman who's a bas banim should go out to etzem chiyuv? It should be mentioned. The kiyum, I mean, you're right. That's the kiyum, right? Everyone is sasheshes mangrama. Women try to be mekayim keinu mitzvah vaisa. So why shouldn't they make be mekayim this mitzvah keinu mitzvah vaisa? Why does the Ramah say this?
What is chashad?
Chashad, I can say chashad means chashad that she has some non-healthy sexual preferences. That's what it means. Shum chashad is that she's either zayna, she has taiva fenoshim, she doesn't have a normal healthy life in this area. I don't know if that applies to 70-year-old, but it applies to generally speaking. That's what chashad means. It says that in the Eitzar Peskim, it says at a time where there's no chashad, where women find it hard to get married, so then there's no chashad. And it's kafiyah's man. Shad is not a gzera derabbanan, it's kafiyah's man. Now it's a pesach, it says in communities where not all the women are able to find shiduchim, even woman, even if she could, but she doesn't want to, so she this mishnei chashad falls off. The question is, al's pur ravu. So there's a meshech chachma in Parshas Noyach. Meshech chachma in Parshas Noyach says that Karev Li Loimar, this can mean have to mean a halacha, we'll get to it in 2 minutes. It says Karev Li Loimar, oh, his lush is Loi Rachik Loimar. It's not Rachik to say that Derecher Darchinayim, the Torah is Derecher Darchinayim, and since women have a lot of tsar and sakana in Leida, the Torah didn't obligate them in Pur Revu, because it's a Davishal tsar. Instead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Teva Ha'isha, the maternal nature of the instinct to be a mother. But the obligation, the Torah doesn't obligate a person to do something that's a tsar and karav liyeh sakana. So I'll tell you, the Meshech Chaim says something beautiful. There's a Mishnah, this comes from Mishnah in Yevamah, Samechei Amid Beis. Now listen to the Mishnah. Ho'ish mitzov ha'peri v'rivya. Avaloya Isha. Okay, that's what we just started in Shulchan Aruch. Good. Rabbi Yechon ben Braika Aimer, Ashneyem Aimer. What you're saying, you should have lived in the time of the Tanna, and they could have put your name in here. It's even Mamish, what you're saying. This is what it says. Rabbi Yechon ben Braika Aimer, Ashneyem Aimer, Vayavarech Oysam Elikim, Vayem Elahem Elikim, Puru Ravu. The Pasuk speaks to both of them. Puru Ravu, there's nobody else in the world. It was Adam and Chava. Puru Ravu. So the Meshech Chachma says that was before the curse of Ve'etzef Tel Dibonim, of Tzar Leida. That was before, in that time when there was no Tzar Sakada, it says Pur Revu. Later, Vayakiv Avinu, it says, Ani Kel Shaddai Prayer Revei. It says, Lashon Yachid, Vayakiv. So Meshech Chachma says that beforehand it was Pur Revu. Rosh Hashanah said to both of them. We have a klal, any mitzvah said before Matan Torah, actually if it's repeated later, it goes by the later chiyuv. Akapanim, the Meshech Chachma says this, and he can shai per revei, loshin yachid, so, v'loi kaba per revu. Nayach also, it says per revu. But there, no, so the answer is, there's talking to Nayach and his three children. There were more men, so it's loshin rabbim, it's no writers talking to the women. But by Adam, there was only Adam and Chava, there was nobody else. So it meant the two of them.
You didn't need to say prayer.
What?
You didn't
need to say prayer. To Yaakov Avinu. Okay, but the Gemara...
It says, after Rishchav.
What?
After Rishchav Benechav, Rishchav Benechav. By Noach.
Then what's it say?
It says, say in that table, after Rishchav Benechav, Rishchav Benechav, Yitzhak, Kol HaChayav, Shitchav, Abikol Bosa, 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 Bosa,
they had to go out of the table.
He took the shots of the Puru Rabu Al Aretz.
Okay, so he said the Puru Rabu Al Aretz is going on. The Gemara says, how do you know only a man's Mechayiv and Puru Rabu? It brings two sources. The well known one is the Torah says, Milu Al Aretz Ekiv Shuha, Misha Derech Lichvai, she's an Isha, not an Isha. And the second Makar brings is from Yaakov Avinu. And he kills Shaddai Perei Revei, that's the source.
Could it be?
That's a good question. That was 600 years old. It's a little old to. I don't know. You don't know until you try.
You give a man a mitzvah, and you're not going to give it on the woman. What is he going to do? How is he going to?
So he has to find a woman who's willing, which we're able to do. See, he writes, Meshech Chachma writes that it became the teva, Hashem put in the teva of Nashim to want to have children. So, now, I'll tell you where there's a Nafkamina Lahalacha, which he himself says in the Meshech Chachma. Nafkamina Lahalacha is in a machlaikis if women are mechuyavais in Lesheves Yitzara. A man, after he's Mekayim Pur Revu, still has a mitzvah of Lesheves Yitzara, which means to populate the world even beyond the mitzvah Pur Revu. And the question is whether that applies, that chiyuv applies to a woman. And that's the shaila. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara here brings a ma'isa at the bottom of the Yamid that... first Gemara brings... Yehuda and Chizkiah tu'umim hayu. Yehuda and Chizkiah, children of Reb Chiya, were twins. Echad nigmar atzuras al saif tisha, echad nigmar atzuras al tchila shiva. The mother went through two labors. One labor in the beginning of the seventh month, he gave birth to one child, and one labor 2 months later for the second child. Now, I have to tell you, when Daf Yomi got here, so everybody said that it's not shayach. How can somebody go into labor and carry a baby? So Dr. Babich upstairs did some research, and he found that there's a condition where a woman has a split womb, and he brought in an article for a medical journal in Thailand, in one of these countries, where a woman gave birth, they'll say 2 months apart, I think it says 2 weeks apart or 3 weeks apart. He brought it, he has all these articles about everything everyone says is not possible. And so he brings in that there is such a metzius as giving birth, what's it called?
It's called a duplex.
Duplex. Is that a kind of cookie?
It's interesting that it's
very good. I don't know, he brought in, the Gemara says that a snake can carry its pregnancy up to 7 years. So Slifkin wrote an article about that Chazal weren't familiar with snakes, and there's no such thing. No animal has 7 years, the whole thing. So Dr. Babich brought in an article. He should collect all these articles and publish it. It's an article not written based on the Gemara, a totally secular source, that snakes have the ability to carry the male sperm with them and impregnate themselves at will. I don't know what makes a snake decide. And the article said up to 7 years. That's what it said. It's a totally secular article. It said up to 7 years.
Snakes and are born from eggs.
What?
Snakes are born from eggs.
I can only answer you what the article said. Take it up with Dr. Babich. But what? At any rate, let's get back to the Gemara. Yehuda v'Chesush, this lady, this the Bissel Reb Chi, had a very tough pregnancy. Go through labor twice. So the Gemara says, Havlat Sar Leida. So what did she do? The wife of Reb Chi. Shani Mana, she disguised herself. V'asla Kamidu Reb Chi. She came to her husband. She pretended she's coming to ask a shayla. Omro, so she asked her husband, "It's some ifka da piri verivya? A lady's mechuyev in pura ravu?" Omala loy, no. Ozla ishtaya sama da akarta. She went and drank a medication that caused her to lose her ability to have children. Masayfig loy milsa. At the end, Rav Chiya found out that it was her. Omala. I wish you would have had another set of twins like the first. They were the children of this couple. He didn't divorce her over it, even though she was Akrasa. So the shaila here is the following. Now, we don't know for certain if Reb Chiya was Mekayim Pura Ravu or not, but even if we assume he was Mekayim, otherwise probably he would have taken a second wife. So she was Akrasa, and he didn't seem to have a problem with it. What about the mitzvah of Lashavas Yitzara? So from here, there are a number of Rishonim that understand, one Rishon, the Rambam, the Pashas of Rambam, and a number of Achrayim who understand that a woman is not mitzvah in Lashavas Yitzara at all, and that's why, since there's no mitzvah of Lashavas Yitzara, that she was able to, she had such a heter to do it, and it doesn't sound like her husband got all excited about it.
The reason she's
Pturas, I said, Rechad Achinayim, so it does not
matter. So that takes me from humans as well.
We're talking about Lashavas Yitzara. Well, she has a mitzvah of Lashavas Yitzara. Oh, so that's what he's saying. Okay, 1 second. Good, he's Takakam. So according to this, the woman is not Mukhiyevis and Lashavas Yitzara at all. And that's the shita of a number of Paiskim. The Magen Avraham, just look at where the Maror Malkim is, the Magen Avraham says, I think in Siman Kufton Gimel, that a woman is Mukhiyevis in Lashavas Yitzara. Why should she be part? Magen Avraham Kufton Gimel Tess says that she's Chayevis in Lashavas Yitzara, and she has a mitzvah Lashavas Yitzara. The Disma Shechachva, among others, takes issue with the Magen Avraham and says that women are not mufuyaves at all. Nafkamina is legabi shtias kai sekra. Now I want to explain exactly what it means and where it comes as a shayla halacha lemaisa today. The kai sekrin, it appears from Shas, was an irreversible sterilization of the woman. The woman drank a kai sekrin, and she was sterile for the rest of her life. She was unable to have children for the rest of her life. And since she's not mechuyeves, so she did so. Now, is she allowed to drink a kais ikrin lechatchila? So I'll mention to you in a minute what the paiskim say when they discuss it. Okay, good. Let's go for what they talk about. One second. Now there's another nafkamina, which has to do with going on birth control pills. Taking birth control where the woman just doesn't want to have more children. She wants to take... Now, we don't have a kosher likrin today, and most women would prefer not to do an irreversible type of sterilization. But what about going... Now, the shayla going on birth control where the husband doesn't want it, and the shayla about a woman doing it against the will, the wishes of her husband, whether he has a right to insist or not, which is a common shayla. After or before, we'll discuss the Sefer Tshuva. The topic discusses both, which we're going to discuss. Now, I want to mention to you, even the Kais Ikrin shayla. I recently had a shayla. It was the second time I had it once about 15 years ago, and then recently it came up again. It was a young couple. They had just gotten married. And to all appearances, the husband appeared to be a Ben Taira, and I'm sure that he's sincere in that. But they were married a few weeks, and he discovered she discovered that he was hooked on internet porn, which is more and more common today. All the young yeshiva boys who get hooked on internet porn, it's always from the mother's cell phone. The mother's smartphone that's unfiltered. It's always... A father never lets go of his phone. The kids never get a hold of the father's phone. Father keeps his phone by him, and he keeps it locked. The women, they misplace their phones. They can't find it for 2 days. And where is it? Under the pillow in the bedroom of the child. It's very sad. It happens increasingly that people are... They really are good people. That's not like... He's a porn addict who's making believe he's a Ben Taira. He's a Ben Taira who got addicted from unfiltered internet. Whenever people come to me, they always say, "Oh, I thought the rabbis didn't know what they're talking about. I thought the rabbanim are crazy. Everybody has to filter." And then when it happens in their house, to their husbands sometimes, to their children sometimes, you know, it's like closing the barn door a little too late. What was the shayla? This woman, a woman of Flatbush, who got married to a young man. They're married 6 weeks, and she woke up 4 o'clock in the morning and found him on her smartphone. She had an unfiltered smartphone. He didn't have a smartphone; he had a flip phone. But he found her. She found him on this phone for 3-4 hours, looking at things that she went crazy. Of course, she didn't know what to do. So whatever, she went to seek advice, and the immediate question. Well, she was afraid she was pregnant. She didn't want to have a child. She didn't know if the marriage was going to make it too much longer. And the shayla was about drinking, taking the morning after pill. It was within the amount of time, I think it was within 24 or 48 hours, whatever it is, to take it. And the question was taking a pill that, in case she's pregnant, to abort the fetus.
That's grounds for abortion?
Well, it's not grounds for an abortion, but within 40 days, it's not an abortion. It's Maya Ba'alma. Zidim Zerah Levatala within 40 days. And that was the Nidain. And so they came to me, and the young couple didn't come to me. The Rav that they spoke to came to me, and I put them in touch with Rav Shmuel. So it's very interesting. Rav Shmuel said that she should do it, but she has to get permission from the husband. Permission from the husband. So, well, if there's a vlad, it's the husband's vlad also. So I want to tell you the source of what Rabbi Shmuel was talking about. Our tshuvas from Sefer on the topic. There are a handful of tshuvas the Chassam Sofer has mamish on this topic. He doesn't talk about addictions, but he talks about situations where, for one reason or another, there's a desire not to have a child. I have to tell you, many years ago, about 15 years ago, the Novominska told me, it was about a couple, and it was come out the same type of story, and said, told me, whatever it takes, she shouldn't become pregnant. And they got divorced within 2 months in the other case. And if she would have had a child, it would have been much harder for she was 18 years old. Remember, I'll tell you a story. This is more than 15 years ago. Her palm was alive towards the end of his life. And she got married, and then he had these addiction problems. And she got divorced. I remember she told me, it's hard enough to get married. She's 18 years old with a sheitel. And how's she ever going to get married? Her palm was the last year of his life. And I made her appointment to go to her palm to get some chizik. And uncharacteristically, Rav Palm told her, don't worry, you'll be a kala before Rosh Hashanah. So he told her, the strangest thing. And I want to tell you something, it was the first night of Slichus was Havart. The first night of Slichus was Havart. And people here know, if it wouldn't be a recording on, I'll tell you who it is. It's someone who davens here, his daughter, if you can remember, many years ago. And Baruch Hashem, happily married, bunch of children. And,
what? You're implying that it's not
Shaykh HaTikun,
these good couples?
It's never not Shaykh HaTikun. I'm just saying, in that case, it wasn't Shaykh HaTikun. I didn't say, I'm not saying that they could never have a Tikun. I don't mean that. I'm just telling you these cases that came up. But getting back, what's the Nidain? The Halacha Dika Nidain. So let me go to the background, and then we'll go to the Tshuva. The background, the question is, did Rav Chiya's wife do the right thing? She drank a kosher liquor. Now I have to tell you, Rav Chiya's wife was a character in Shas. You remember Rav Chiya's wife? Rav Chiya's son, yes, they were learning Mishlei. Some sasi isha marmi maves. So his son asked his father, "Kugoyin man, who? What does it mean a wife that's marmi maves?" So yes, kugoyin imcha, like your mother. A very strange thing to tell a son, but I don't know. That's what it says in the Gemara. Now. What?
There's an to be
Masal to explain. That's the gross sheet that Ramesh always brings. There's we're going to have in Simon Hay the halachas of Tzuadaka, Kroshuvcha, the dinim of Srisish, of Sris Zachar. A Zachar is not allowed to do damage to Evare HaZachar. It's an Issa Dereisa, it's a Srisish by Malkus, and that's an Issa for sure. The question is what the Gidrei Issa are for a woman to make herself sterile. The Keshal Ikrin Shaila, the way of Sam Seif, now Sam Seif has a number of tshuvas on it. The first one is Evan Ezer tshuva Chaf, Evan Ezer Chelakav tshuva Chaf. Coincidentally, in Lekutim Vav, it's also tshuva Chaf, and in between, there's another tshuva, I think it's Kufayin Beis, in Evan Ezer Beis. Sam Seif has a number of tshuvas on this. The issue by Kaishal Ikrin is that it's called a gram sirus. In other words, if somebody physically cuts a cord in a male, cuts off the cord that brings the zera to the aver, which is the way sterilization is done today, or in a woman, if someone they tie up the fallopian tubes, which is the way it's done, that is a maisa sirus. Drinking something that causes sirus, the Chassam Sofer says, that's called grama. That's a gram. The person's not physically doing it. He considers it a grama to take a medication which causes the body to react in a certain way. It doesn't go directly and burn up the cord. It causes the body to produce certain, I don't know, enzymes, hormones, whatever it is, that cause a change in the body. It's a gram. And the shaila is, by an isha, there are two questions. Whether it's an issa siris b'chlau, the gra holds is an issa deraisa, the machaba holds there isn't. And then, if there's an issa, whether whether a gram of that is aser. We find later in Siman Hei Sifya Beis, three shitas. The Rambam, as I mentioned earlier, says in Isuri Bia, there are two Rambams. The Rambam says that there's no iser for a woman to be misaris herself. There seems to be a stiris Rambam. But over there in Simin Hay, both the Beishmol and Chakas Machaikak, Beishmol Yadal and Chakas Machaikak Vav, say that a woman is allowed to drink a kosher likrin. There's no iser. And they bring the story of the Bissad Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya didn't seem to get all worked up over it. Now, the Bach and the Marshal say that's only a raya b'makom tzar. She had unusual tzar leida. So the Bach and Marshal say on that Rambam, he doesn't mean stam because you're not in the mood. He means b'makom tzar. Some sefer says that Allah is like the Bach and the Marshal, that the heter mitzadi isha is a heter b'makom tzar. There is a shita that some sefer brings that say arazim. Not a well-known sefer because it's only in Eben Ezra. We don't usually learn Eben Ezra so much, but it's one of the respected achrayim on Eben Ezra. He holds it's only mutter b'makom sakana. So you have the gamut of what the heter is, and the Rambam says say mutter l'chatchila. The Atzei Razim says makom sakana, and the shita that's pshara is b'makom tzar. And some sefer says with tzadik isha, that's the din. Now, what? Because this is stiris harabim. The suri bia he says a woman's allowed to do it straight out, and the suri ishus he says only b'makom something, whatever it is, whatever he means. What? Yes, I think the Bach and Mashal say more than usual tzar. That's what they say. Keep going, the Bissad Reb Chiya. So, now, what?
A woman ruining her organs, just in front of some she's safe, and she's ruining herself and ruining her biological organs.
So, we're going to discuss that. I want to stick to the topic of Kosher Likrin, the topic of removing. Removing fallopian tubes or removing the uterus is today, it's a common thing with the BRCA gene today. Women who are past childbearing age who have a BRCA gene should remove. Okay, so we'll talk about it. There's a gene today which the statistics are frightening for certain types of cancer. And the people who have that type of gene, it's for two cancers, not uterine cancer, it's the breast cancer and ovarian cancer. And a woman past that age, what do you call it, the women should go for, should go, I'm not telling them what to do, but the medical advice is certainly to do it. And halachically, close monitoring. The BRCA gene is a gene which I think it's a majority of people who have that specific gene. It's more than 50% that develop either breast cancer or ovarian cancer. The shaila comes up about removing the uterus. Once they go in and take out the ovaries, they usually want to take out the uterus, and there's no medical need to take it out, and that's neither a need to leave it in or out, but it's a halacha like the gra, you know, take it out. So okay, it's a separate topic. But going back to Kosher Likrin, which is negar to us, to a woman taking a pill, some sefer deals with whether a woman is mishubit to her husband's permission in order to take such a pill. In other words, if the husband doesn't want and the woman wants, whether a woman could take a pill against his desire when it's not permanent. It's permanent, the husband's not going to have children, it's something else, but where it's temporary. What? So, one second. So, the Chus from Seifer, he says something very interesting. He says it's mistaver, like the Magen Avraham, there is some chiv of l'sheves yitzara. But he writes that l'sheves yitzara, k'shmoy kein hu, L'shev Yitzhar means it's for the Yishuv Ha'ilam to have children. He says, Yishuv de Gufa Adif. He says, where for her, there's a reason, she has a physical reason to push it off, it's Adif. There's some Seif, there, Michas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, he brings us some cipher. He says he doesn't understand what the tumul is. Let's say a woman, she has a chalisha saguf for whatever reason. She has mano, or she has something that causes her a chalisha saguf, and she wants to abstain from relations with her husband until she feels better. She doesn't come pregnant while she's sick. So he says, would anybody ask this man to refrain? The husband can force her. Is such a thing? Says Balash and Tema. So some cipher Mechitzuk say that if the husband wants her, doesn't want her to take the pill, but doesn't want to divorce her, so she has a right to insist on taking it. Lizman. How much is Lizman? So they write the Shiloh is man lo yadano, it's a paraphrase. We have to figure out what type is man. But for a temporary pause, that matir. Although the some safest lashin, it's not clear if he's referring to someone who was not mekayim puravu, also, or just to someone who was mekayim puravu. Not 100% clear. But my point is that we have a source for this halacha, isha ena mechayev zeh puravu, is a makar for the idea that a woman mitzad atzma is allowed to delay. And for a reason, it doesn't mean for no reason, but like the Bach says, b'makom tzar, or if there are reasons, sometimes there are reasons that are, they sound like practical reasons, but they're really tzar aguf also. A woman who's been going to medical school, and she has to take her exams. She doesn't want to be pregnant when she's taking her exams, so she's getting married, and she wants to push it off for a period of time. So that's the equivalent of tzara guf. It means she'll be pregnant. She'll be a big struggle for her. So according to this, there's something that's mutter. If the husband insists, but the husband says, "I'm not going to divorce you over it," so some savior says, if he wants to divorce her because she's not interested, so we'll talk about it. But he wants to stay married to her, so the some savior says that you can't insist. And again, not perfectly clear if he means b'makom puravu, if he's shalei b'makom puravu. But that's the psak, and it's based on the idea that a woman is not absolutely mechuyeves in this mitzvah. So Rav Shmuel said to get rishus. I mean, you have to understand. Yep. I don't know. I'll ask. What? Look, if you look at the beginning of pregnancy as Issa Zerol of Atol, and that's it, so there's no real difference. I hear. I don't. But you say, yes, if it's already a impregnated egg, so maybe it is. Okay, it's not necessarily meant that that's worse. That that's some safest case. But okay.
It seems that these are all cases of temporary birth control.
Yes.
That's basically what we're asking.
That's what we're talking about. Only temporary as opposed to Rav Chiya. Now, the Gemara's, the Shulchan Aruch's case, the Kashal Ikrit, is permanent.
Yeah.
And there, Mitzad the Isha, they say there's no Isser. If the Mitzad the husband will be a problem. But Mitzad the Isha, it's not a problem. Okay, so anyway, this is where this topic of Isha and Mitzvah Puravu comes up. It's an infrequent topic for the most part. They do bring the shaila of a woman who made a neder or a shvua for some reason or other not to get married. They bring a maisa. Her husband was dying, and he promised her he wouldn't marry any. She promised him she wouldn't marry anybody else. And the question is afterwards if that shvua is binding. A shvua, if it's b'maka mitzvah, it's not a binding shvua. Okay, a shvua that's to a baal shemitzvah is not binding, and certainly matter a shvua. Such a shua, a shua das acher, we're not usually matir. Someone makes a shua to another person. So the other person, whatever, does something in exchange for the shua. We're not matir the neder. You can't promise someone that you're going to do something and then go to the rabbi and be matir the shua. Shua das acher, meaning you're shua from the person you made the shua to. except if it's a shul of atah osa mitzvah, then we're matter the neder. So the question of whether a woman is mechuyeves in l'shavas yitzara would be grounds to be matter such a neder. That would be an afkin. Okay, the last sif is dimisha nasi isha v'shoyim ha'asir shonam v'layolde yisbar ha'sham. That's the end of Simen Aleph. So what was Simen Aleph about? Simen Aleph was about the chiyuv to get married and the mitzvah peruvu. The first mitzvah of the Torah, peruvu, and what are the last mitzvahs? The kiseitze of, if you hold marriage as a mitzvah, of marriage, that was Simen Aleph. So what do you do after you find out that you got to get married? Next thing is, who do you marry? Who do you marry? Sif Beis, Simen Beis, is a big chiddush. Yishtadu kol adam likach lo isha haguna. Everybody got to try to get a good wife. Haguna? No. Everybody has to try to get a proper wife. So for many of us, it's too late. I don't know if we still learn this simon. But it strikes me, sometimes I ask one of the Sfaradim to invite me with brachas in the morning. In the Bronx, we say, Vipegara, Ma'ayin Hara, Mlashan Hara, they say, Ume Isha Ra. No, so you say, Isha Ra. Every day you say, Isha Ra. You're married already. Like, what are you saying at this
point?
Me Isha. The art scroll has, Le Ish. So, I don't know. What? Okay, so I want to clarify. There's a mitzvah puravu. If marriage is a mitzvah saseh, is a machlekes to Rambam and the Rosh in Ksuvis. If marriage itself is only a hechatimtza for puravu, or if it's a mitzvah saseh, the Rosh holds marriage is not in and of itself a mitzvah. It doesn't say anywhere take a wife. He says not a mitzvah saseh. He says the brach of the Masada Kedusha, Kedushan of Mitzvah, Vitzivano al ha'arayos is not a birchas hamitzvah. That's why the chassan doesn't make it. The someone else, the oila makes it. It's a birchas hashvach. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah sasei, and that it's a birchas hamitzvah. The Rambam is the one that says that if the chassan is deaf, the besides the condition can't be mitziyim. He has to make the bracha himself. The Rambam says, the reason that the chassan doesn't make the bracha, the reason we have a minig that someone else makes it, is shaloi levayish, is misheni adeya. Not to embarrass people that they're going to mess up the bracha under the chuppah, so someone else makes it. But in the case of a chassan who's deaf, who can't be at Shemer Kaina, he makes the bracha himself, he's able to.
According to Rosh, why can't he make it himself?
According to the Rosh, he doesn't have to. It's the brachas hashvach. It comes out from the island. He could make it himself. There's no din that you have to be mighty him. He's the birchas hashvach for them. This is the Rosh in on Dav Zayin, but the sugi of birchas eris and the birchas nesuin on in the beginning of Ksubis.
According to the Rosh, now,
it's a hechsher mitzvah to have children. The Rosh says you can have children through a pilegesh without nesuin. The Rambam holds that pilegesh is also only to melech it's mutter. So according to the Rambam, there's no other eitzah anyway. But that's what he says. He says that the Rosh says that a mitzvah, it's a birchas hashvach. What? Look, at the very least, the Shulchan Aruch says you should get married, even someone's Mekayim Puravu. It says you shouldn't be Shloim Shevis B'Laisha. I'm probably talking about the Deraisa. But he says not a birchas mitzvah, so that means he also not a chiv derabbanan either. So it sounds like for the Rosh.
But it sounds more that this means
which Gemara? So Leitayv is not good to be alone. That doesn't. There are a lot of things that are not good. I don't know if that makes it into a mitzvah. Or okay, Siv Bei, Simen Bei, Yishtadol Kol Adam Likach La Isha Haguna. Everybody try to have Isha Haguna. Isha Haguna Pashtus means a somebody who's hogun al pidin. The mechaber here.
Did the mechaber write the titles?
No, the titles were by the printer. The titles are never right to anything. They're written by the printer, and they're not nothing should be learned from
them. What am I trying to gain by this? I mean, it's normal. It's expected. You wouldn't want to get an Isha Aguna.
Here we're talking about, this symbol will talk about Sveikis in Yichus and Yonim. That's what I'm going to talk about. I'll tell you, just this Friday, I met with a couple. The couple moved to New York, and they applied to send their child to the yeshiva. And I don't remember how the yeshiva became aware of it, but the Yadus wasn't clear to us that they had a proper gerus. So the yeshiva delayed taking them. They went elsewhere. But in the meantime, the Rav found out, so they met with me. Now, I told them, they did a gerus in the country they come from, I don't know how to say. They come from a third world country where they became from, and he's from. I mean, he came to meet me. He attends Shiurim, and he dams a million. They're Elocha people, no Shaila. And he had a Ksav gerus from that country. Now, I don't know anything about that country, but the reason they came to me, he came with his Rav. They inquired about the gerus, and they were told to do another gerus. And what's the shaila? The shaila is, let's say I'm not coming to a shidduch with them. Let's say I was coming to a shidduch with them. In my case, I'm coming to take achrayus for their geirus. So the geirus, the Yiddishkeit, I understand. But I have to know they're not mamzerim. I have to know they're not mamzerim. So before I met with them, I told this Rav, before they come, they should bring documentation about the parents' marital status. If they had previous marriages prior... Now, if the parents were Vadei Goyim, it's not a Shaila. If it was a Suffolk, if the parents were Yidden or Goyim. The father was Zichah Yid, and the mother, it's not so clear. So he brought me, I have the documentation still in my pocket. I'm supposed to meet with a lawyer for them. It's written in Spanish. I don't understand. They brought me Spanish documents, you understand. But that's what this symbol is we're going to learn about. How do you establish... Isha Aguna means a righteous woman. So you got a righteous woman. What do you do next? First of all, I know some people, if they marry righteous women, they're not going to have a happy marriage. It has to fit the husband. But everybody quotes his own Madrega. But how do you establish, how far do you go back to establish Yichus? Now,
something that we don't, if it's a Suffolk Mamzer, it's not an issue, it's only a Vadei
Mamzer? So Mamzer is also Midrabanan. A Suffolk Mamzer is worse than a Vadei Mamzer. A Vadei Mamzer can marry a Ger, but the children are Mamzerim. But the Suffolk Mamzer can marry anybody. The Minatoris, Mamzer Vadei, Vilna Mamzer Suffolk, Midrabanan, we don't marry Sveik and Suffolk Mamzer. Now, we're going to learn about in this simon about these type of things. You have to know there's a Klal Gadol in the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei. The Gemara says, Malkin ala chazakais, v'saiklin, v'sarfin ala chazakis. What's a chazaka? Chazaka means, if you know someone's living in town, b'cheskas, father and son, or father and daughter, or b'cheskas Yehudi. The stam assumption is if someone's living in town a certain way, that it is as they say. Torah can't exist without an assumption that things are as they appear to be. The Gemara there brings a maisa with a woman who moved into town with a son, and she lived there b'cheskas the son, and later there were mezana, and they gave her misa. Then she said, no, it's not really my son. And they said, Saitler al chazakais, and they gave her misa. There must have been Asra. But... Shulchan Aruch later is going to say the following: in Simi Yotesef Beis, name of the Simin is Tzaklan Al Chazaka, Ish VeIsha Shabo MeMedina Sayam, He Oimer Ze Baili, VeHu Oimer Zu Ishti, Im Huzuku BeIr Shloishim Yoyim Shu Ishtai, Hargin Alam. That's only 30 days. Gemara says if they move into town, he says this is my wife, she says this is my husband. Then we assume that's true. We even give Misa based on it. There's a Tshuva Sarama, I think it's Tshuva Zayin, about somebody in Tanakh that lived in town as husband and wife. And then someone saw that they had relations with each other. He said, I was lying. It's really my... no, I'm sorry. They lived as brother and sister. And he said, how's it a wife? So who's that? The Tshuva Sarama writes that Yitzchak and Rivka moved into town and they said they were brother and sister. So he asked, why did he give a misa? They have relations like husband and wife, but Noach gets killed for being Mizana or a brother and sister. So he asks, why didn't he give a misa? What's the answer? A good amasla works. A good excuse works. So he said, he gave it a masla. They're going to kill me. So it was a good enough excuse. So he got away with it. So no masla helps. But my point to you is this. There's a concept of Saitlan al-Chazakis that things are the way they assume to be. And we're going to deal with it now in the simin where it comes up.
The case which you just said, which you have involved in, wasn't the Chazak also 30 days, more 30 days?
See, here, the husband and wife are masking that they need a gerus. But they did a gerus, but that gerus is they have the ksav gerus. That bezdin, they were advised by people in the bezdin not to rely on these batei dinim. That the bezdin is not reliable. And it was a bezdin in another city. So they're coming to do a new gerus. So the Shaila is, they will do a gerus for their two children also. They have two children, they will do a gerus. So everybody should have Shailas in the future, which is smart. There's no chazakas. They're telling us exactly what happened. Now, okay, let's learn Sif Aleph today. Sif Aleph, it's very difficult to understand what it says in Sif Aleph. Now, Sif Beis starts the guts of the simon. Just to give it to surprise everybody, I want to read you the first Mechaber in Simon Gimel before you assume. Mishabab is man hazeh, v'amar kayin ani. It ever happened to you in shul? Yes, is there a kayin? And someone raises his hand and says, I'm a kayin. Simon Gimel says, Mishabab is man hazeh, v'amar kayin ani. Ein oi neman. V'yimayin lois tekun api atzmai v'ol yikru b'tay rishin. It's almost the same Simon Gimel Sefalov. The Mechaber says, yes, is there a kain in town? Is there a kain in the shul? He picks up his hand. You know, I'll give him an aliyah unless you have, unless you know he's 30 days. What? Well, we're Ashkenazim. Yeshaimrim, the Ramah says, Yeshaim the Nemel Likris B'Tayarishin. The Ramah says, Vali says Kapo, the Ramah B'Zman Hazeh. He says, today we don't have Truma. The Ramah says we can be Mekel. Yes, the Sfardim, if they're Mekel, and they said they are, Shaul, that's true. They're Mekel, maybe. Everyone's Mekel. It says they're a Kayin and they rely on the Kohen Kuna. Yeah, they don't have Levi'im. They have plenty of Kayin. But it could be in our communities it's a Musa David Al-Gluye. Someone who's in town says I'm a Kayin. You know, it could be it's a Musa David Al-Gluye. I don't know. But let's go back. Sif Aleph and Simon Beis. Loi, tell me what the Mechaber here is saying. I don't understand this Mechaber. Lo yisa adam isha sheyesh ba shum psul. What's it talking about? Don't do averus. What does it mean? Well, the Beishmol says, Aleph, haynu psul da asura loi, shashmamzer echalala. Echalala, it says l'kayin gadol. I think the new ones say l'kayin. We have l'kayin gadol, you have l'kayin, right? It should say Kayin Gadol. Halal is us at the parentheses, because it should say Lekayim. But it's not Kayin Gadol. Halal is us there. I don't understand Pashup Shad of the Mechaber. Mechaber says, don't marry someone. Imagine, the Mechaber says, don't eat things you're not allowed to eat. What's it telling us? Don't eat Tavar Masurim. Why? What kind of Mechaber is that? Do you understand it? Don't marry someone you're not allowed to marry. Do me a favor, just tell me I'm not allowed to marry. You have to have a sif. Don't marry Isha Shesh Bashum Psul. You know, am I right? What? Hadgosha, stress. What? Mechaber says Shum Psul. Mechaber doesn't say Shum Psul. All right, he says Chashash, okay. So you have to tell people don't eat things out of a Chashash. Ramah. Ramah, let's read the Ramah. Ramah says, "Kol anaisi shepsula mishamamin, hagalei banim sheinim ulganim." Someone who marries is shepsula because of money, He'll have banim sheinim uganim. That means if marry an isha psula for other reasons, then it's okay. That there's no curse. I don't know. Aba balafa chishen psula love. El shenaisem mishumamin mutter. You hear this? If it's not ain't hagun alai, so it's not a psula. It doesn't the mutter. Misha writes. Now here, read the next line. Misha writes al isha isha psula. B'nei mishpachta yechaylam limchayspay. Someone wants to marry an isha that's possible. The family could stop him. V'meinu writes v'ashkiach ben. If he doesn't want to listen to them, yasu ezadava l'simin shlo yizarev zarei bizaron. Now, again, we're going to have to come up with a pshat next week. Because if it's asa to him, anybody could stop him. And whoever's bekechit, stop him. If we're talking about an iser mamish, so what do you mean, b'nei mishpachta yechaylam chayspay? Everybody can be meichet. If somebody was promised money for a shidduch and he got engaged, the chazru behem, and now they're not giving the money, it's telling you don't make a fuss over the money. Someone is makpid on money in shiduchim, it's not a good sign. Ki amamin shodim lekech im ishtai. The mamin you get with your wife, ain't a mamin shal yashir. It's not straight money. Chalaisa kei mikri noisi isha l'shei mamin. Al kam ash yidin lecham av v'chamaisai. Whatever his in-laws give him, which is say, if his in-laws give him, yikach bein tai vaz yachliyach. Take what you get. And then you're going to be matzliyach. So this is a very important Ramah. Then not to be misguided, even if they promised and they, Rapam said, someone said, there was a chassan that was promised a lot of money, and then when it came to the wedding, they said, we just don't have it. So he was very, very upset. So Rapam said, look, if they wouldn't have promised you any money, and he said, you have a taina, then a machshiv you. But here, they promised you money, they machshiv you. But they don't have the money. So that's much better. Rabelsky once, we had a meeting in yeshiva, so I have this sickness, I come on time. All the other rabbeim didn't. So I was sitting with Rabelsky, he was in his room. He says, you're here, I'll tell you a story. He told me it's a fantastic story about, I think, his Elta Zeda, his wife's Elta Zeda, was the rav in a town, I was trying to remember, in a town back in Europe. And he said that they made a shidduch. And Rabelsky, you have to know him, he was very flowery. He was describing to me they're getting the wedding ready, and the musicians took out their violins, and the waiters set the table. I'm sitting there, patient for this, and they put their chicken in the oven, and they're waiting, and they're looking on the road. Is the chassan coming? Is he coming? And finally, yeah, the chassan's coming, and finally he comes, and they're happy. And then the mother of the kala says, "Do you have the whatever it is, the 200 ruble?" And the father of the chassan said, the 200 ruble, we have it, we didn't bring it. Yeah, we didn't bring it, don't worry, you'll get it. And she insisted, ois chassana. If you promised the money, you didn't bring the money, ois chassana. And they said, they tried to convince her differently, and you couldn't convince her. She said, oh, you promised the money. So Belsky was telling me, I said, the violinist put away the violins, and the waiters took off the tablecloth, and the shit came out of the oven. And finally, someone said to this woman, the mother, said, look, you ask all your shaylas to your brother, who's sort of the de facto Rav Sheikh Amayel in town. Why don't you ask him the shayla? So she went. She said, I'll ask the shayla. She went to him. So first he started describing his pipe. He had a pipe, and he's smoking his pipe, and he didn't go to chuppis. He only went to dance at the wedding, and he's waiting, and they come and say, oh, they have to dance. He get ready. No, 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 we have a shayla. So he said that this brother told his sister, the mother, said, you're 100% right that they have to start. When someone's wrong, the first thing they have to say, you're 100% right. We have a way of dealing with this. We have a way of dealing with people that promise and they don't show up. We make shtaris. He said, bring me a piece of paper and get me two eidim and get me a cipher. And we're going to write a shtar. And the shtar is going to be b'chayiv her to b'chayiv the money. And the Eidim are going to sign it, and we'll do a kiyum on the shtar. Only then they'll go to the chuppah. So they brought in the witnesses and the cipher. They made this this big document, and he's puffing his pipe, and they signed the document. Then the violinist took out the violins, and he's at the table. And then he went to dance by the chasana. So he came back, his pipe was out. So how do you light a pipe? Zerbulski says, how do you light a pipe? You only have a candle. What do you do? So he says, you can't light a pipe from a candle. I said, why not? So you don't understand? If you tilt the candle onto a pipe, the wax drips in, it ruins the whole pipe. I said, I never thought of it. So he said, he took the shtar, rolled it up, stick it in the fire. They said, what are you doing? He said, the shtar did what it had to do already. It's such a great story. It's such a great mussar. Okay, Mitzvah Shabbat, we'll see you guys next week.